KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlaine-A-Di and the Wush-Kitan of the Occoquan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the tidelands as a source of food and part of their home, and who have never relinquished their property rights and hunting and fishing rights, nor their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterway. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunashchish for your patience as we learn. You're tuned into Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, coming to you live from my home in sunny downtown Juneau, and many thanks to producer Scott Burton for zooming me into the studio today. Our first guest is Nicole Borromeo, Executive Vice President and General Counsel of Alaskan Federation of Natives. Hello, Nicole.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Not as sunny though here in Anchorage.
Sorry to hear that. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. I wanted to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and maybe say a little bit more about yourself for our listeners.
Thanks. My name is Nicole Borromeo. I grew up in McGrath, so I'm an interior girl originally, but I went to high school in Southeast and on Edgecombe. Spent 4 years down there in Sitka, and then also came back to Southeast after I graduated law school and clerked for Tricia Collins as she approached retirement from the Superior Court bench. I'm working at the Alaska Federation of Natives. Before I came on board as general counsel and executive vice president, I worked at the law firm of Sanosky Chamber, Saxe, Miller & Munson. I also worked at the Legal Aid Society of Hawaii and spent a couple years working for Senator Stevens in Washington, D.C. on defense appropriations before I went to law school. So I live in Anchorage now with my husband and our four children. You may see or hear, most likely, any one of them during the course of this interview, but really excited to be here today to talk about the census. I know that it's a rather dry subject for many, but we are super passionate here at AFN in terms of making sure that Alaskans are completely and accurately counted because the rewards are so great.
I have a lot of questions about the census and its importance to Alaska Native communities, but I did first want to ask about your organization, the Alaska Federation of Natives. How have you guys responded to all the changes that happened this year? What's your status? Were you able to maintain most of your normal operations?
We were, because Alaska is counted a lot earlier than the rest of the country. So the census began counting Alaska on the 21st of January. AFN at the same time stood up a very aggressive boots on the ground campaign out in rural Alaska. We were the only organization to have a statewide presence in the bush. So we onboarded roughly 185 or so outreach specialists in communities across rural Alaska. So we had about 80% of rural Alaska covered, and they were getting the information out in terms of how important it is to fill out the census, and then how to strategically answer both the race question and the order of enumeration for households. And we had pretty much our work completely wrapped up by the time that the census shut down its operations because of the pandemic. Of course, we were really striving and pushing hard to get to 100% outreach specialists in all of rural Alaska, but with the pandemic and a little bit of attrition, we never quite got there, but we still are hanging in right about at 80%.
80%, that sounds pretty good.
Was
the census like your number one project this year?
We never really have a number one project at AFN. We're always working on a number of state and federal issues, but I will say it is in the top five issues and has been since January.
What were some of your other plans or projects for this year, and how did you and the organization adapt to the pandemic?
Well, we've closely been tracking the federal relief packages related to the coronavirus. That wasn't initially on our agenda, but we do track a number of federal bills and rules that come through Congress, so that we just added this to our plate. We're getting ready to switch gears now as we wrap up the census and really make sure that Alaskans are voting, because we have an opportunity to do it through a mail-in process this year. And after that, we'll also be planning and hosting our annual convention at the same time, and then switch gears over to redistricting.
I'm sure in your role, you're very accustomed to handling challenges, and so I'm sure you're up to the task as the pandemic hit. I've also heard that you are a champion for the census, and I can pick up on your enthusiasm very clearly. So a census is probably, I'm guessing, a tricky endeavor, even in a normal year, made mm-hmm. it difficult because of the pandemic. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of completing the census for Alaska Native communities. Why is it crucial that they are counted?
So part of my excitement for completing the census is because I have not seen this personal return on investment. So for example, my organization, our leadership, and many other organizations across the state regularly travel to Washington, D.C. Pre-pandemic, and we will travel again post-pandemic. But it's, you know, a 12-hour flight just to get to Washington, D.C. Then you have to spend a couple days on the ground, travel back home. Those get tiresome, and they're expensive as well, to continue to educate members of Congress and other federal officials on Alaska, how unique we are, how big we are, all of the stuff that we just continue to re-educate them on over and over again, that we are a very big state, a very Native state. So in order for us to be able to, again, see this return on investment where you take 10 minutes and you're able, just one person, to bring $3,500 back to the state over 10 years, that's $35,000 in 10 minutes. You can't beat that, those odds. So I'm all about working faster and smarter and not harder. And that's one of the reasons why I'm able to keep a fire in my belly about the census, make sure everybody's doing it and filling it out.
I know you had said that a lot of the work was finished before the pandemic hit, but to do any final outreach, did you have to change up your approach?
We did. And in fact, we didn't think that we'd actually have this opportunity to engage in such a comprehensive public radio messaging campaign. So we're really happy. I should say there's a silver lining to the pandemic that we were able to do this. We're not happy necessarily that, you know, the census operations have been disrupted the way that they were, but Alaskans communicate differently, and we don't have high-speed broadband in a lot of the villages. So many, many offices were reached through fax machines, through phone calls, and through platforms such as public radio, that, you know, someone from the office calls back and says, hey, we heard you on this station, and are you still looking for help? What can we do? How's our community doing in terms of numbers? So all of that has been very rewarding and, you know, just an added benefit to having longer to do the census.
Back in July, you were appointed to the Alaska Redistricting Board.
I was.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks.
I was wondering if you could speak a little to how the census and census data correlates with redistricting.
Happy to. So at the federal level, the census data doesn't really affect Alaska in terms of our legislative redistricting. However, and that's only because of population, right? The U.S. Senate has two representatives per state. It doesn't matter what the population is, so we're set there. And we're at number one position for a representative in the House of Representatives, and that's because of our population. So until we reach a big plus up in terms of Alaskans that live here, we're just going to have one member going back to Congress, and right now that's Congressman Young. At the state level, though, the census makes a big impact in terms of how we draw our districts in the state and who represents us down in Juneau. As more rural Alaskans move into the cities for job purposes and education, we see the representation shrinking a little in Bush Alaska. You have less representatives to cover greater and greater areas. But even as our main population epicenters grow and change, we're going to have to look very closely on the redistricting board. And as all Alaskans, it's not just up to the board, about what our representation looks like to make sure that these districts are drawn in a way that they have fair and equal representation, and that all Alaskans are getting their voice heard down in Juneau.
That is a big job.
It is a big job.
About a month ago, the Trump administration announced a new compressed deadline for the census,
meaning
it will now close on September 30th instead of October 31st. Did that affect your efforts at all?
It did, and it affected a lot of organizations' efforts across the state that we partner with regularly and specifically for the census. It hurts a lot of individuals and families living in rural Alaska because, as we know, being from the bush, this is when a lot of families are out in the field harvesting moose and filling their freezers. And if it's a question between filling a freezer or filling out the census, I understand. You know, I grew up in McGrath. I know what's more important for a family, and it's harvesting wild game right now. But what we are asking at AFN is, before you jump in your boat, head upriver or downriver, and hope you're successful in getting that moose, that you take the 10 minutes before you go to complete your census. Because if you're not successful in the first couple days of the hunt, you may still be in the field while this is wrapping up.
That's really good advice. Those are great points. Let's talk a little bit more about how we can pave the way to more census completions if for those who haven't done it yet. You have some tips for filling it out. First of all, it is available online and by phone. Is there any special instructions about how to get started?
No, it's very self-explanatory if you go to the census website, which is www.2020census.gov. You don't have to spend a lot of time clicking around to figure out where you respond. It hits you right in the face as soon as you get there and you click on the Respond Now button. And it honestly takes you about 10 minutes. I did it for my family of six when I was super sleep deprived after bringing home our daughter, who's now 5 months old. It took me 11 minutes and 36 seconds. And I even had time to go back and double check everything. And so that was from an iPhone. It could have been done under the 10-minute mark, I'm confident, if I did it on the computer. But that's the quickest and surest way to get it done if you have high-speed broadband. If you don't, or if you're just craving that social interaction that you used to get at coffee stands and whatnot, you can call the census too, and they'll take your information over the phone. The census number is 1-844-330-2020, and a friendly individual will pick up and take your information over the phone. We do have some suggestions on how to fill it out in the most strategic way possible for Alaska, if we can touch on those, Shelley.
Absolutely. That was the next thing I was going to ask you.
Great. So if you're Alaska Native and you live in a mixed race household, meaning your spouse or significant other is non-Native, whether or not you're married or not married, we're asking that the Native person input their information first. So using me as an example, I'm Athabascan, I'm from McGrath. My four children are as well. My husband's not, he's from Hawaii. So when we filled out the census, we put my information in first because that ensures our whole entire household is counted as a Native household. And we have five Alaskan Natives living in the house and one non-Native, whereas if he put his information first, even though he's the only non-Native in the house and living with five Alaskan Natives, we would be designated as a non-Native house. That matters for funding. Tribal funding programs at the federal level are based on formulas, and part of that formula includes tribal membership. And the census is a great way for a lot of the federal agencies and departments to get that information, and they go to the census for those official numbers. So if you're Alaska Native living in a mixed race household, when you start entering in the names of the individuals in your household, please make sure that your name goes in first. It does not matter if you own the house. It doesn't matter if you're on the title. It doesn't matter if you're on the renting, but you're not on the rental application, or if you're considered, you know, quote, head of household. That's an IRS term. We don't care about that for the census. It doesn't matter if you're working inside of the home only, or if you have a part-time job outside of the home. None of that is taken into consideration for the census. It's just an order of preference that we're really suggesting that Alaska Natives take into consideration because it matters.
That is really interesting and really useful information. I didn't know that, so chances are a lot of my listeners didn't know that either. Thank you for sharing that. And how should they list their federally recognized tribe or community name if they don't know it, or if people have questions about that? Do you have any suggestions there?
Absolutely. So this is about at the 8 or 9 minute mark, depending on how fast you type, when you're going to get to this question. And the census asks you to report your race. If you're Alaska Native, we're asking that you check for sure the Alaska Native American Indian box. If you're mixed, you can check white as well. It's up to you whether or not you want to check one box or two, but for sure, please check the Alaska Native box and then put in the name of your federally recognized tribe. Now, this is not your racial ethnicity and it is not your village or regional corporation. So we'll use me again as an example. I'm Athabascan. I'm enrolled to Doyon. MTNT is my village corporation. When I got to this point in the census, I put in McGrath Native Village because that's the name of my federally recognized tribe. That name also went in for all of my children. I didn't write Athabascan and I didn't put Doyon or MTNT in there. Now, if I didn't know the name of my federally recognized tribe, I could find it out by visiting AFN's website at www.nativefederation.org and clicking on the map that has all of the regions broke down, that has the village name and the corresponding federally recognized tribe. We update that list regularly based on the Federal Register notice. So before we published it this year, we did cross-reference it against the, all the tribes listed in the Federal Register. If that is too cumbersome and internet connection is an issue, please just write in the name of your village. So in my case, again, I could have just wrote in McGrath and that would have been enough to trigger the census personnel to figure out that I'm enrolled to McGrath Native Village.
Again, very interesting, very helpful information. Thank you so much for touching on those points. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know about completing the census?
Really just how easy, quick, and confidential it is. The most important thing to know at this point is that you do not have until October 31st to get this done. Time is ticking. September 30th is the cutoff deadline. It is a hard deadline. There's a lot of information out there about the census and unfortunately some misinformation because things have just changed so rapidly during the course of this pandemic. Also want listeners to know that if you haven't had a knock on the door and you're just patiently waiting and you have tea set out or prepared for an enumerator when they show up, do not go ahead and wait any longer. That tea is cold. Get on the internet, pick up a phone, call and get that information in because we're running out of time. And billions of dollars are at stake. And sometimes it's hard for people to wrap their head around just how much money is at stake here. But we're talking $3.5 billion to the state every year from the federal government based on census data. So if we're not doing our job as Alaskans and filling that out, that money is going to the lower 48. It's not coming here for our roads or our runways or our ferries or our schools or our hospitals and clinics. It's going elsewhere. So when I talk about return on investment and the money that we get for this 10 minutes, it's, you know, enough to keep me excited about it, many other people excited about it, because it is just so much money that's at stake here on the table. If you don't care about money, but you are into individual liberties, this is a civic duty. So please do your civic duty and fill out the census. And it also helps our vulnerable populations, elders, youth primarily, those of us who have fallen on hard times and may need little assistance from WIC or TANF, anything like Head Start. All of those formulas are driven by census data. So we have to do our part as Alaskans and fill this out. The economic forecast is looking a little shaky. It doesn't look like we're coming out of this recession anytime soon. So this is a great way for us to also help fill our budget gap.
Yeah, very well said, Nicole. Thank you so much again for touching on all those important points and all the great reasons to fill out the census. I did it as well a few months ago. I can attest it's very easy. So, and I think that even the things that people would have questions about, you've explained really, really clearly. So thank you for sharing all that today. I wanted to ask what else is going on with AFN that you might want to share with our listeners. I noticed that the conference 2020, AFN 2020 is next month and it's going virtual. Do you want to say anything about that?
Absolutely. Please tune in. Our convention is happening this year. We are not letting the pandemic slow us down. It is going to be virtual though, because we do care about everyone's health and safety, and it's going to land right in the middle of flu season. Our theme this year is Good Government, Alaskans Decide. There's many important issues, including a national election right now, that Alaskans will have an opportunity to have a say in. So we're going to hear from a host of different federal and state public officials, top Native leadership, and tribal chiefs as well as part of our convention this year. We're hoping that as many people as possible can tune in over the internet. We're also planning on broadcasting live over public radio and then having a TV feed as well.
Excellent. I believe our listeners will know where to go to find that. We have a website and a television channel. So
great.
We usually tune in to AFN every year.
Fantastic.
And shortly after, the topic is timely for the AFN, for AFN 2020, because shortly after the virtual conference is a big election. Do you want to say anything about voting by mail? Does AFN offer resources for the communities on voting?
The state of Alaska is the best resource for voting, and you can request a ballot quite easily through the Division of Elections. You don't have to have any special reason for requesting a mail-in ballot. Go to the website, and they'll send you one. It's a quick process to request a mail-in ballot. You know, the primary that just got done was pretty wild for a lot of the different districts up here in Alaska, in the House and in the Senate. So the general election is definitely one to watch. Some of these races were won by just a handful of voters. And if that's not reason enough to get out and vote, there's always hot button issues that Alaskans care about. You know, we have a huge fiscal gap right now that we're trying to figure out how to close. And we have to register our people and we have to vote as well. So please don't just register, but also take the time to vote. It matters this year more than ever. And we're hoping to see record high populations of Alaskans voting.
Nicole Borromeo, thank you so much for your time. Executive Vice President and General Counsel of Alaska Federation of Natives. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you today. I learned so much.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. I appreciate your time today. Have a great day. Bye, Scott.
You as well. Take care.